Eddie, the Collegiate Sophomore. Chapter 7. Spring Semester, Part 1. On the first day of training for the spring track season, June buggies pile into the university parking lot. Everyone's June buggy is polished and looking good for the spring semester. Eddie even left his MGB at home today and drove his June buggy. After practice, it's off to work for Eddie, and since the weather is nice, he thought he'd break his new toy in. Bobby B and Erica, however, forgo the June buggy today and arrive on their matching BSA Starfire motorcycles. The locker rooms fill with the usual crowd. The standard talk and chat arises in the men's locker room. Braden informs everyone, "We're gonna kick ass again this season. Ain't no one stopping us." Braden gives everyone he sees a high five, well, except for McCutcheon and Delaney, who seem to steer clear when Braden is energized. Mitchell, Akinmola, and Stone are discussing who is going to win the mile in the divisional meet. Johnson mentions that, now that Mr. Crum is gone, everything is going smoothly over at the high school for Barbara. While everyone misses Barbara, they know she is on the top of the world coaching the high school team. As everyone begins to walk out to the arena, Mark tells McCutcheon, "Yo, Junior. Your head looks like a freshly picked peach." McCutcheon went home over break and used a different bottle of shampoo, which allowed his hair to begin growing back. His hair is sure to start falling out again shortly. Turning over a new leaf of bravery, McCutcheon yells at Mark, "Hey, shut up." Eddie tells Mark, "Now look at what you did. You made him mad." Mitchell, adding to the psychological warfare, adds, "It's only going to get worse. His white matter is disintegrating from the prickly sea spider bite." Mark comments, "That's right. He's getting demented. I should have been more considerate." With the team waiting on the bleachers, Mr. Fraser walks into the arena and is intercepted by Scott McCutcheon, Sr., the father of Todd McCutcheon. Mr. McCutcheon opens the conversation by asking Mr. Fraser, "So, are you the track coach?" Mr. Fraser replies, "I am." "And who are you?" Mr. McCutcheon replies, "I'm Scott McCutcheon Sr., Todd's father. We need to talk." Knowing that any proposed meeting cannot go anywhere productive, Mr. Fraser tells Mr. McCutcheon, "I have a team to coach right now. If you want to set up a meeting with me, please schedule it with the administrative staff." Mr. McCutcheon tells Mr. Fraser, "Apparently, you don't know who I am." Mr. Fraser replies, "You're Scott McCutcheon Sr. You just told me that. My hearing is good, and I have a reasonably good memory." Mr. McCutcheon gets a little hot under the collar, trying to conceal his anger. Apparently, he is not used to being tossed aside and ignored. Mr. McCutcheon tells Mr. Fraser, "We need to have a talk, and the sooner the better." Mr. Fraser emphatically replies, "Now is not a good time. As I said, I have a team to coach right now. Apparently, your hearing is not too good, and your memory sucks." From Mr. Fraser's perspective, there is no good time to have to deal with a clearly irate alumnus. Provost Layton walks into the middle of the discussion, vaguely recognizing today's visitor. Provost Layton asks Mr. Fraser, "What's up?" Mr. Fraser replies, "This gentleman, Mr. Scott McCutcheon Sr., would like to have a meeting with me, but he apparently doesn't want to schedule it." Provost Layton throws out the general question to Mr. Fraser and Mr. McCutcheon, "Is there anything that I can help with?" Mr. McCutcheon, trying to take control of the meeting, replies, "And just who are you?" Provost Layton, perceiving Mr. McCutcheon's malice, replies, "I'm Athena, one of the assistant coaches." Coach Layton intentionally did not reveal her prestigious title of provost, only to see how the irate Mr. McCutcheon treats her. Mr. McCutcheon informs Provost Layton, "We need to have a discussion." Dr. Bonamo walks into the arena, joining the other coaches, wondering what the discussion is all about. Mr. Fraser asks Dr. Bonamo to take the team out to the track and informs him that the track athletes will be running the interval training drill. Mr. Fraser also tells Dr. Bonomo that he and Provost Layton will be out in a few minutes. Addressing the team, Mr. Fraser announces, "Everyone, please follow Dr. Bonomo out to the track. If you are a field athlete, you will be working with Dr. Bonomo today. If you are a track athlete, please run the interval training drill. And remember, everyone is a sprinter today." The team gets off of the bleachers, heading out, as Mr. Fraser plans to make his second attempt at disposing of Mr. McCutcheon. Looking at his notes, Mr. McCutcheon tells Mr. Fraser, "I want to see Mark Svoboda, or however you pronounce it, Eddie Boganskaya, or whatever his name is, and some guy named Braden." Mr. Fraser, now knowing that Mr. McCutcheon's proposed meeting can provide nothing but comical entertainment, blows his whistle and yells out, "Eddie, Mark, and Braden. Please see me now." Eddie, Mark, and Braden, who were on their way out with the team, turn around and walk toward Mr. Fraser. Kathy and Paula join the group, wondering what is up. Eddie asks Mr. Fraser, "What's up?" Mr. Fraser explains, "Let me introduce to you Mr. Scott McCutcheon Sr. He mentioned that he wants to see you guys." Mark, hearing the name McCutcheon, replies, "Well, he's seen us. Can we go now?" A comment like Mark's is exactly what Mr. Fraser was hoping for. Hearing Mark's comment, Provost Layton turns around, trying not to laugh. Mr. McCutcheon tells Mark, "That wasn't funny." Eddie corrects Mr. McCutcheon, replying, "Yeah, actually it was kind of funny." Kathy adds, "Yeah, I agree. It was definitely funny. We can all vote on it, if you want." Mr. McCutcheon quickly realizes that he is in a situation of 7-on-1. And Mr. McCutcheon is the lone one. Not wanting to get trapped in the middle of the current exchange of words, Mr. McCutcheon tells Mr. Fraser, "First of all, I want these guys to stop harassing Todd. It's gone far enough." Mr. Fraser replies, "I haven't seen any harassment by these guys." Mr. McCutcheon brashly replies, "Oh, don't tell me that you don't know about it." Mark tells Eddie, "I guess we'll have to stop calling him McCrutcheon." Eddie replies, "I thought that was his name." Not wanting to get into another fruitless discussion, Mr. McCutcheon ignores Eddie's and Mark's comments and insists, "The harassment went on all last season, and I want an end put to it. Todd is very stressed out, and I would appreciate it if all the harassment ends. And if the harassment doesn't end, I will do everything I can to have these guys removed from the team." Mr. Fraser bluntly informs Mr. McCutcheon, "Oh no, you won't. That you will not do. That's a dead-end street, if I ever saw one." Wanting some sympathy from the group, Mr. McCutcheon explains, "Look. Todd, on occasion, has had some very severe panic attacks. At times, Todd can't breathe and gets a cardiac arrhythmia from all the stress he's been under. It would definitely help him if the harassment would stop." Kathy tells Mr. McCutcheon, "That's a bunch of bullshit. Todd McCutcheon doesn't have a cardiac arrhythmia. And he can breathe perfectly fine." Getting hot under the collar, Mr. McCutcheon responds, exclaiming, "And how would you even know? This is exactly the attitude toward Todd that I am talking about." Kathy explains, "If he had an arrhythmia, he'd be dead. And if he can't breathe, he would also be dead. Don't you think?" Mr. McCutcheon briefly turns around, trying not to lose his cool. Knowing exactly to what Kathy is referring, Paula comments, "Well, she does have an excellent point." Quite frustrated, Mr. McCutcheon exclaims, "And just what point does she have?" Kathy explains, "An arrhythmia is, as the prefix A suggests, the lack of any rhythm. Perhaps you meant to use the term dysrhythmia." The term dysrhythmia refers to irregularities of the heartbeat and disturbances of rate and conduction. And if someone can't breathe, as you claim, they pretty much die. He may have had difficulty breathing, but I can assure you he can breathe. This is a university, Mr. McCutcheon. We are in the exercise science program. We know what we're talking about. Apparently, you don't. Mr. McCutcheon, sensing that he is up against a brick wall and getting nowhere, moves on. Braden, adding some words of wisdom, interjects, "Well, if McCutcheon wasn't busting into people's lockers and planting steroids, maybe his ass wouldn't get so stressed out and his heart wouldn't be all messed up. Maybe his ass should stop smoking pot too." Turning toward Braden, Mr. McCutcheon insists, in a matter-of-fact tone, "That was a setup." Correcting Mr. McCutcheon, Braden exclaims, "Yeah, that's right. McCutcheon set up Eddie and, when that failed, he tried to set up Mark. All the evidence was there. Who do you think you're shitting?" Mr. McCutcheon exclaims, "That case has been sealed." "How do you know about that?" Braden authoritatively yells back, "Because I chased Todd McCutcheon's fat ass down and arrested his ass. I was the arresting officer. And now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I should get another search warrant and search his dorm room again." Silence comes over the group as everyone waits to see who makes the next move. Mr. McCutcheon had no idea that he was talking to a campus police officer. He still has no idea that the assistant track coach is Provost Layton, perhaps not recognizing her in her track uniform. Mr. McCutcheon can't outsmart a group of exercise science majors, and he knows it. Exactly what Mr. Fraser was hoping for, the group of five athletes is working over Mr. McCutcheon really well, saving Mr. Fraser the trouble. Mr. McCutcheon exclaims, "Nevertheless, I want the harassment to stop. And the agreement was that Todd was to participate in two events." Eddie comments, "Let me think. If I remember correctly, McCutcheon was expelled from this university. Who did you pay off to get him back in?" Mr. McCutcheon tells Eddie, "I don't have to put up with you and your questions." Eddie replies, "So don't. Just leave right now and everyone will be happy." Meanwhile, during the heated exchange of words, Provost Layton steps aside and is laughing hysterically, albeit as quietly as she can. Mr. McCutcheon boldly tells Provost Layton, "I fail to see what is so funny here." Knowing that this is a totally unproductive meeting, Provost Layton replies, "Well, I can explain it to you, if you'd like. But you're probably not going to like it." Mr. McCutcheon brashly replies, "Well." Provost Layton explains, "When Axel Braden said, maybe his ass should stop smoking pot, I got this visual of a large joint sticking out of his ass. That's kind of funny." Laughter breaks out, irritating Mr. McCutcheon even more. Mr. McCutcheon throws his arms in the air and tells Provost Layton and those around, "I just can't believe this." Trying to move forward, Mr. McCutcheon informs Mr. Fraser, "One more thing. I am informed that, last semester, Mark ran Todd over during a relay drill." Mr. Fraser replies, "That was completely Todd's fault." "And so what?" Mr. McCutcheon exclaims, "So what? Something should have been done about it." Mr. Fraser informs Mr. McCutcheon, "If Todd was paying attention to what was going on in the lanes and not drooling over Amanda Drake's ass, the accident would not have occurred. It was completely his fault and, for the record, I am not entertaining your or anyone else's opinion on that matter." Mr. Fraser finally tells Mr. McCutcheon, "Look, Todd's performance is not competitive enough for me to put him in any event right now. He needs a lot of work." Mr. McCutcheon replies, "Then, I suggest you do something about that." Mr. Fraser tells Mr. McCutcheon, "I'll do what I can. But you'd better get something straight. My job is to get this team to win. So, unless he puts in the work and improves, I'm not putting him in. It's that simple." End of discussion. Mr. Fraser walks out to the track, with Provost Layton and the athletes following him. Practice goes well for the team for the rest of the week. The team is ready for the first meet, which is coming up shortly. McCutcheon is not harassed and left alone, which McCutcheon considers a form of harassment in itself. But if you plant steroids in another athlete's locker in an attempt to get them thrown out of school and then get caught, you really can't expect it to be overlooked. If you crash someone's wedding and make a scene, you can't really expect that to be overlooked either. A few weeks later, on a Friday, as they are waiting for the team to gather for practice, Provost Layton, who will be away on business for a week, tells Mr. Fraser, "I really hate that you will have to work all by yourself next week. I really feel bad about it." Mr. Fraser explains, "Athena, when I was coaching high school, I had to tell some of the runners to tie their laces. I had to tell them to wash their uniforms. I had to tell many of them exactly what to do at practice. I've even had to break open their locks because they forgot their combination or lost their key. Now that they are in college, all I have to do is tell them that they can win." Athena replies, "That's one step above some of the faculty. Some of them stand in front of a class with a coffee-stained sweater with buttons missing. And half of them are back to not tying their shoes again. And I won't even mention that some of them wear mismatched socks." Mr. Fraser laughs and replies, "At the high school, there seemed to be an unofficial competition between some of the teachers for the Best Dressed Award. Kristen Starr, one of the English teachers at the high school, would have been the clear winner of that award." Seated on the bleachers, the team awaits their instructions for the day. After telling the team good morning, Mr. Fraser announces, "Today, we are dragging the training sleds down the sand track. And today you will be on the clock. Mrs. Owens will be recording your performance, and I will be watching you closely. So, let's get out there and get to work." The team heads out to the track, knowing that today will be a very difficult workout. Provost Layton tells Mr. Fraser, "That was easy." Mr. Fraser replies, "And all of their uniforms were clean, and everyone had their shoes tied." Provost Layton asks, "I'm curious. Why time their performance on the sand track?" Mr. Fraser replies, "So they run faster and work harder. I don't care what their times are on the sand track. But if they know they are on the clock, then they know they'd better deliver." Provost Layton gets it. Mr. Fraser not only trains the mind, but uses the mind to the team's and his advantage. After the day's training session, Mr. Fraser tells the team, "That was a great workout. All of you get the next 2 days off, but feel free to train on your own." One guy comments, "It's Friday," overheard by Mr. Fraser. Mr. Fraser smiles and replies, "At least one person got it." Mr. Fraser tells everyone that, on Monday, the team will be running relay drills. After dragging the training sled on the sand track and running the interval training drill all week, the thought of running relay drills sounds like a vacation. Monday arrives, and the team has had a nice 2 day break. The weather was beautiful over the weekend, which carries over into Monday. This means the relay drill that Mr. Fraser had planned could have been held on the outdoor track. However, Provost Layton is gone this week, so one man working on a 440-yard track, evaluating relay handoffs, is a bit too much to ask. So today, Mr. Fraser decides to run the relay drill indoors in the arena. Once the team is assembled in the arena, Mr. Fraser announces, "Today, as promised, we are running relay drills. I expect your best performance today. Do not get the false impression that, if you were on a relay team over the indoor season, you will retain that position throughout the spring season. If I have assigned you to an event, I can remove you from that event just as easily. And if you aspire to run in a relay race and are not assigned to one, now is your chance to prove yourself. And you will be on the clock, so I don't want to see anyone slacking off." Mr. Fraser then explains the protocol. "Since I am working by myself this week, there will be only one handoff zone at the starting line. When you receive the baton, you will run 220 yards and hand off to the next person in line. We will start out with two batons. I will add a third baton in a while. Okay, everyone on the inside of the track and line up." Mr. Fraser tosses one baton to Eddie and one to McCutcheon. McCutcheon fails to catch the baton and picks it up off of the floor as the team laughs. Mr. Fraser blows his whistle and yells out, "Okay. Let's get moving." As the drill moves along, Kathy mentions to Paula, "Now, I don't want to graduate. I want to keep running track." Paula replies, "Yeah, I know what you mean. With Mr. Fraser and the whole tribe around, track is really a lot of fun again." Before she gets on the track, Kathy tells Paula, "All we need now is for Mr. Zunday to come back to the university." Kathy takes off, and we'll see Paula again in a few seconds when Kathy hands off to her. While they are waiting in line, Eddie asks Braden, "So, how's the dune buggy running?" Braden replies, "It's running like a charm. I'm teaching Wendy to drive a stick. She's doing good." Eddie tells Braden, "And the dune buggy has a little more power than the Cushman that she used to drive around at the high school." Braden replies, "Yeah, I'd say." Eddie gives Braden a fist bump and tells him, "It's your turn, bro." Braden gets on the track, ready to receive the baton. Listening to all of the conversations going on is McCutcheon and his newly found friend, Harry Delaney. McCutcheon is still deeply bothered by the camaraderie of the tribe. He is also bothered by the fact that he is not currently assigned to any event. Mr. Fraser is not playing along with some supposed administrative edict of having to assign McCutcheon to at least one or two events. The only person at the university who is aware of this edict is Dean Grimsby, to whom Mr. Fraser pays no attention. So, McCutcheon will have to perform, and perform consistently, if he is to earn a position in an event. Halfway through the drill, some of the runners are beginning to fatigue. Many of the experienced runners have to adjust their speed to accommodate some of the newer members of the team. But this is part of the drill. It is just as important to be versatile as it is to perform well. A decrease in performance toward the end of the drill also alerts Mr. Fraser, who may need more work, and in which areas. As Kathy gets on the track, the chief poor performer himself, McCutcheon, is on the back straight away. Coming around the curve, McCutcheon approaches the transition zone. Kathy takes off, waiting for the handoff. Now at the end of the transition zone with an imminent failed handoff, Kathy slows down, and McCutcheon speeds up, forcefully ramming the baton into Kathy's gluteal region. Screaming out in pain, Kathy goes down, catching the attention of everyone in the arena. McCutcheon walks off his run, moving away from the crowd. Mr. Fraser blows his whistle, stopping the drill. Braden exclaims, "Oh, shit. Here it comes. Something's coming down. He ain't getting out of here without a major league ass kicking." Mark exclaims, "Yeah, bro. That was his biggest mistake yet." Johnson exclaims, "He rammed that into her ass really hard." Eddie has had enough of McCutcheon and jogs toward McCutcheon and Kathy. No one knows whether Eddie is planning on helping Kathy or planning to take McCutcheon apart limb by limb. McCutcheon, however, is still walking away, faking disgust by throwing his arms in the air over the poorly executed transition, which he clearly thinks was Kathy's fault. Kathy stands up, runs toward McCutcheon, letting out her primal scream. Kathy lunges toward McCutcheon, delivering a well-executed chop block with her shoulder, taking out his right knee and bringing him down hard. Eddie, who was going to see if Kathy is okay, stops and stands with his arms crossed, allowing Kathy the privilege of kicking the shit out of McCutcheon all by herself. Kathy pulverized McCutcheon in his face, not relenting in the least bit. Kathy then stands up, giving McCutcheon several swift kicks into every imaginable part of his anatomy, yelling out, "You piece of shit," with every blow. Braden slowly walks over, but gets there a bit too late to break up the fight. Kathy has already finished the job, and finished it well. Closely observing exactly what happened on the track, Mr. Fraser freely allowed Kathy to take care of the situation her own way. Once Kathy has finished off McCutcheon, Mr. Fraser blows his whistle again and yells out, "Everyone on the bleachers. Seeing McCutcheon still laying on the track, Mr. Fraser yells out, "That includes you laying on the track. Get up and get on the bleachers. Now." McCutcheon, however, does not move. One of the timekeepers goes over to aid McCutcheon and yells to Mr. Fraser, "Well, at least he's still alive." Kathy yells out, "That's just too bad." Recalling her years in high school, while she is sitting on the bleachers with the tribe, Erica comments, "I thought girls were fragile and delicate, like little flowers. And boys are rough and tough, like tree trunks." Paula tells Erica, "She's fragile, all right. Fragile like a bomb. And McCutcheon is rough and tough, like termite-ridden balsa wood." Watching as McCutcheon is laying on the floor motionless, Erica mentions, "Hopefully, he's out for the rest of the season." Mr. Fraser asks Kathy, "Are you okay?" Kathy replies, "No. And I'm not done with that piece of shit yet." Eddie gives Kathy a hug, helping her over to the bleachers so she can sit down. Kathy has trouble sitting, so Eddie tells Mr. Fraser, "I'm taking her home." Seeing the seriousness of the situation, Mr. Fraser instructs Eddie, "On the way home, take her by the infirmary. Have her checked out. And get this documented. Let me know how she's doing." Mr. Fraser whispers to Kathy, "And tell the doctors exactly what happened." Eddie and Kathy leave and head to the campus infirmary. Meanwhile, while Mr. Fraser was speaking with Kathy and Eddie, McCutcheon finally comes to. He is helped to the bleachers with the aid of two of the timekeepers and Braden, a process that takes a few minutes. Mr. Fraser sternly looks at McCutcheon and exclaims, "What was that supposed to be?" McCutcheon does not answer. Mr. Fraser yells out, "Answer me. Now? What was that?" Barely able to speak, McCutcheon replies, "It was an accident." Mr. Fraser exclaims, "I saw exactly what happened. That was no accident." No one dares to say anything while Mr. Fraser is speaking. Mr. Fraser tells McCutcheon, "As of now, you are no longer on this team. Get your ass out of my arena and clean out your locker. And don't even think about coming back." Addressing the rest of the team, Mr. Fraser exclaims, "And if I ever see any shit like that again from anyone, you are on your own. If you get your ass kicked after ramming a baton into someone's ass, that's your own problem. Don't look to me for sympathy." Focusing his attention again on McCutcheon, Mr. Fraser tells him, "You're just lucky that Eddie didn't kick your ass." McCutcheon, thinking back to last year when Eddie kept repeating, "Remember the Chucky," realizes that, if Kathy did this to him, what could Eddie have done? But McCutcheon doesn't realize that he got off really easy today. Braden whispers to Mark, "I ain't never seen Mr. Fraser this mad before." Mark whispers back, "That's because McCutcheon is Jimmy O'Brien, the Chucky, and Paul Mahoney, all rolled into one." Braden whispers to Mark, "You got that right." Mark looks over at McCutcheon as he stands up to head to the lockers. McCutcheon falls to the floor, prompting Mr. Fraser to yell out, "Someone, go out in the hall and call an ambulance, or whatever there is on campus to deal with this kind of shit." And McCutcheon, "Do not move." Mark comments, "It looks like McCutcheon derailed his own train this time." Paula whispers to Mark, "He's not coming back. Kathy finished him off for good." Mark whispers back, "It looks like she did a really good job of it." The campus paramedic squad arrives and takes McCutcheon to the campus infirmary. With only a few minutes left to practice, Mr. Fraser tells the team, "Tomorrow, we'll be working outside. We will be working on the sand track and running the interval drill. We'll see you all here tomorrow. Hopefully, everything will go better than it did today." The team breaks for the day and heads to the locker rooms. After being checked out at the infirmary, Eddie takes Kathy back to her car. With a circular bruise on her gluteal region, Kathy just doesn't feel like sitting in classrooms for the remainder of the day. So, instead of school and work, Eddie and Kathy plan to spend the afternoon in their pool. Kathy calls Barbara at the high school and tells her that she won't be at practice today. And for the first time, Eddie has to tell Angelo that he won't be in today. Kathy takes a few days off track practice, but still comes to the practice sessions helping out Mr. Frazier. Mr. Frazier does not want Kathy running until her bruised muscles are fully healed. Running on a damaged muscle presents a problem in the sense that the runner's gait is slightly altered, setting up the possibility of a subsequent injury. Also, muscle injuries require rest to heal in the fastest possible time. Kathy also has been seeing her massage therapist, who uses cross-tissue massage to prevent the formation of any adhesions. When Kathy chop-blocked McCutcheon, his knee got severely injured during the takedown. McCutcheon was informed by his orthopedic surgeon that he suffered a grade 2 tear of the medial collateral ligament in his knee and a severe sprain of his anterior cruciate ligament. McCutcheon was informed that grade 2 tears will likely heal without surgery, but will take an extended time to do so. A neurological examination also revealed that McCutcheon suffered a severe concussion, presumably when his head forcefully hit the track during the takedown. If Mr. Frazier had not cut McCutcheon from the team, he would have been out for the rest of the season. Upon hearing the news, Mr. Frazier changed McCutcheon's status to injured reserve, only to avoid any potential confrontation with Dean Grimsby. Thursday, as track practice is getting underway, a surprise visitor arrives. As Mr. Frazier is addressing the team, Dean Grimsby walks in and interrupts Mr. Frazier. Knowing from Provost Layton that Dean Grimsby is a paper tiger, Mr. Frazier initially ignores him. But Dean Grimsby, who thinks he is very important, does not like to be ignored. So, the dean announces, "May I interrupt this meeting for a moment?" Mr. Frazier replies, "You just did, so why are you bothering to ask?" There is no good comeback to Mr. Frazier's response, so the dean gets a bit flustered, especially with all the snickering coming from the bench. Dean Grimsby, getting right to the point, tells Mr. Frazier, "I need to see Katerina Karakova." Mr. Frazier, learning from Mark, replies, "There's no one here by that name. So, please let me get back to my business." Pointing to Kathy sitting on the bench, Dean Grimsby exclaims, "She's sitting right there." Mr. Frazier informs the dean, "That's Katerina Boganskaya, not Katerina Karakova. Her name has been officially changed. I'm sure your academic records reflect that. And if that is who you came here to see, you've now seen her. So, you can leave now." The tribe laughs, clearly seeing that their own sense of humor is now also seen in Mr. Frazier. Dean Grimsby, ignoring Mr. Frazier, tells Kathy, "I want to see you in my office immediately." Kathy looks at Eddie and whispers, "Where have I heard that before?" Eddie whispers back, "Deja vu." Kathy just sits on the bench and does not respond to Dean Grimsby. Repeating himself, the dean exclaims, "Did you hear me? I want to see you in my office right now." Kathy sits back and still does not respond, frustrating the dean even further. Paula laughs, knowing exactly what Kathy is up to. Mr. Frazier, also knowing that Kathy is up to something, allows the dean to continue making a fool of himself. Mr. Frazier has come to know this group quite well. Dean Grimsby asks Kathy, "Are you just going to sit there and ignore me?" Kathy replies, "I'm not ignoring you." Dean Grimsby yells at Kathy, telling her, "I told you, I want to see you in my office." Kathy yells back in the same tone, "And I heard you." Dean Grimsby exclaims, "Then, what are you waiting for?" Kathy tells the dean, "You said that you wanted to see me in your office. You never commanded me to go there. This is a university, Dean Grimsby. Expressing a wish or desire and issuing a command is two entirely different things. Maybe you should audit a freshman English class. You might actually learn something." Everyone on the bleachers laughs as Kathy is treating the dean like a five-year-old. Dean Grimsby then commands Kathy, "Okay, have it your way then. Please report to my office immediately." Kathy stands up and comments, finally. Something that you said is marginally understandable. And, by the way, the word then is a conjunctive adverb and should never appear at the end of a sentence. How did you ever pass English class? Even though English is probably not the track team's best subject, they all laugh while Kathy is picking apart the dean's command of the English language. Kathy whispers to Eddie, "Don't worry about me. I'll take care of him." Eddie gives Kathy a kiss and whispers to her, "It sounds like you already did. But kick his ass anyway." Eddie has absolutely no respect for Dean Grimsby, and neither does Kathy. As Kathy walks away, Paula whispers to Mark, "It's just too bad we're all going to miss this." Kathy heads to the locker room to change. As if he has not been a big enough pain in the ass already, Dean Grimsby asks Kathy, "Where do you think you are going?" Kathy boldly replies, "I am changing. I'm not going to sit in your office in my track uniform." "Got it?" Dean Grimsby dares not to respond. Kathy heads to the locker room to change. Dean Grimsby returns to his office, clearly understanding that he is going to be in for a very rough ride ahead. Kathy heads to Dean Grimsby's office, understanding exactly what today's agenda is. Knowing that she can go back in time through the portal and undo anything that has happened, she has chosen to be the shark and not the shark bait during Dean Grimsby's interrogation. Dean Grimsby, as Kathy will find out, already has his case against her well documented and ready to be presented. Kathy walks up to the dean's office and tells the assistant, "Dean Grimsby told me to come to his office." The assistant asks, "And what is your name?" Kathy replies, "Katerina Karakova." The assistant informs the dean that Kathy has arrived. Kathy is told that the dean is waiting for her and that she can go right in. Kathy takes a seat and waits a few minutes as Dean Grimsby shuffles and sorts a few irrelevant papers, making it appear as if he is doing something very important. Dean Grimsby opens the meeting by verbosely stating, "It is my understanding that you were involved in a physical altercation with another member of the track team on Monday. The other student involved in the altercation is reported to me as being Todd McCutcheon. Am I correct in my assessment?" Kathy smiles and replies, "Yes, I was. He started it. I finished it. And I kicked his ass. Officer Braden would be proud." Dean Grimsby repeats, "You kicked his ass. I see." As she plays with her necklace holding her blue stone, Kathy replies, "Exactly. I kicked his flimsy ass, and I kicked it good." Dean Grimsby, beginning to get angry, asks, "How can you be so sure it wasn't an accident?" Kathy replies, "For the same reason that steroids just didn't accidentally show up in Eddie's locker last year. And we won't even bring up Mark's locker, and how McCrutchen and Lug Nut got caught red-handed." Lug Nut, by the way, is Steve Leggett, who you expelled for that act. "But you brushed all that under the carpet. And besides, you weren't there, Junior. So, how would you know? The whole team saw it. So, cut your bullshit already." The dean is not used to being spoken to in such a forthright manner. Dean Grimsby tells Kathy, "I can see that this is going to be a very difficult meeting." Kathy puts her feet up on the dean's desk and replies, "Well then, maybe we should just sit back and relax." Dean Grimsby exclaims, "Get your feet off of my desk." Kathy slowly takes her feet off of the dean's desk and tells him, "Your move." Dean Grimsby angrily tells Kathy, "This is a serious matter. Let me make you aware of the fact that, after you kicked his ass, as you say, Todd McCutcheon suffered a serious injury to his knee and may never run again." Kathy interrupts and tells the dean, "He never could run to begin with. So, I really don't see what the problem is." Having enough of Kathy's attitude, Dean Grimsby tells her, "I can see I am getting absolutely nowhere with you, so let me get right to the point." As Kathy is playing with the necklace housing her blue stone, she replies, "Waiting." Perceiving Kathy's sarcasm, the dean continues, "I am placing you on disciplinary probation. During the time that you are on disciplinary probation, you will not be allowed to participate on the track team. You will still be required to attend all of your classes. And any future incidents like the one that occurred on Monday may lead to your expulsion. And since you are very close to graduation, I would highly recommend that you make a reasonable effort to behave yourself. Do you understand me?" Kathy replies, "No." The dean asks Kathy, "What part of what I said do you not understand?" Kathy tells the dean, in a matter-of-fact tone, "All of it." To understand is a legal term which means to agree with the presented charges. So, in a legal sense, I do not understand you. And, by the way, I will be running in the meet this weekend. And don't think for a minute that I forgot that, when you put McCrutchen and Lugnut on disciplinary probation, you stated, the administration prefers not to interfere with the athletic department's business. That sounds like a double standard to me. Maybe Provost Layton can help clear that up for you." Kathy would be correct. At her university, by rule, disciplinary probation does not prevent an athlete from competing on a sports team. Disciplinary probation is merely one step away from a one-semester suspension. Dean Grimsby, for some reason, seems to think he can make up whatever rules he wants. Dean Grimsby pauses and replies, "Wow. In all of my academic experience, I have never run into anyone with your attitude." Kathy replies, "Sure you have. You must have totally forgotten all about your meeting with Eddie last year when he made a complete fool out of you." Dean Grimsby tells Kathy, "That's it. I've had enough of you and your attitude." Interrupting the dean, Kathy informs him, "I've had enough of you too." Putting her feet back up on the dean's desk, Kathy adds, "So, I guess we're even. Your move." The dean begins to speak, as Kathy holds the setting housing her blue stone, examining her blue stone carefully. The dean rambles on, displaying his disgust. Following a few minutes of listening to the dean babble, Kathy takes a gamble, goes out on a limb, and tells the dean, "Just shut up already. One more peep out of you, and I'll make your high-level involvement in the organized gambling ring around here public knowledge." A sudden look of fright comes across the dean's face. Suddenly getting extremely angry, the dean blurts out, "What do you know about that?" Realizing that she just busted the dean, Kathy calmly, but sarcastically, replies, "Wouldn't you like to know? So, let's get something straight. If I'm going down, you're going down even harder. And, where you're going, they will rip you a few more holes in places you can only imagine. We took Crumb down, and we can take you down too. Got it?" Dean Grimsby turns an eerie shade of white, attesting to his guilt. Dean Grimsby, knowing that he's been busted, is listening carefully, trying to learn what Kathy knows. Adding fuel to the fire, Kathy, now taking control of the meeting, firmly tells the dean, "And for the record, I don't appreciate competing in a rigged sport. I am sick of you working with McCrutchen to rig the races. That's why you want that loser on the team. Isn't it? And now that Dr. Paxton is gone, you have to make up shit like, the administration would prefer that Todd McCrutchen run in at least one, preferably two events, which is total bullshit. It's you who want McCrutchen to run in one or two events. Isn't it? Go ahead and admit it." Dean Grimsby is silent for a moment, prompting Kathy to use the highly sarcastic innuendo, "Waiting." 15 more seconds go by, which seems like an hour to Dean Grimsby. As she is playing with her blue stone, Kathy stares at Dean Grimsby, smiles and calmly says, "Checkmate. You lose." Dean Grimsby, clearly knowing that he has been busted, tells Kathy, "Okay. I'll make you a deal." Knowing now that she has the upper hand, Kathy interrupts and tells Dean Grimsby, "I already gave you the deal, Junior. In case you missed it, I told you, one more peep out of you, and I'll make your high-level involvement in the organized gambling ring around here public knowledge. Now, unless there's anything else we have to discuss, I can think of a million things I'd rather be doing than sit here listening to you and your inane babbling. And, for the record, I am not on disciplinary probation. And, for your information, I will be running in the next meet. If you don't like it, talk to Provost Layton and Dr. Alexander Karakova. He's the athletic director, as you might just know. Dr. Karakova is perhaps the last person Dean Grimsby would want to have a run-in with. And a run-in with Provost Layton is not exactly high on the Dean's list either. Kathy walks out of Dean Grimsby's office, knowing that the blue stone she is wearing around her neck has superpowers beyond what she ever thought. Suddenly, it becomes very clear to Kathy what has been going on with Dean Grimsby, Dr. Paxton, Todd McCutcheon, and his older brother, Scott McCutcheon. As she is walking back to the arena, Kathy now wonders whether Leggett was involved with fixing the events as well. Kathy gets back just in time for the end of practice and heads out to the track. Mr. Fraser is quite surprised to see her. And so are Eddie and the rest of the tribe. Kathy walks up to Mr. Fraser and asks, "What did I miss?" Mr. Fraser replies, "The question of the day would be, what happened in the dean's office?" Kathy explains, "He tried to put me on disciplinary probation, which means I wouldn't be allowed to run in the meet this weekend." Mr. Fraser asks, "Did you get out of it?" Kathy replies, "Oh, heck yeah. You have to hear this one." As Mr. Fraser is finishing up, Kathy tells him, "I really want to have Officer Hayes, the police officer, to hear this too." Mr. Fraser replies, "Now, I'm really interested. Go call him. See if he's available. I'm going to stay around for the meeting." Kathy heads back to the arena and makes the call. It turns out that Officer Hayes is available and heads to the university. Kathy tells the dispatcher to have Officer Hayes meet her at the arena. Mr. Fraser, Kathy, Eddie, Mark, Paula, and Braden wait in the hall outside the locker rooms for Officer Hayes to arrive. Braden is dressed in his uniform, since he is officially on patrol after practice. Mr. Fraser mentions, "I thought I left all these problems behind at the high school. Apparently, I was wrong." Eddie informs Mr. Fraser, "McCutcheon was expelled for planting steroids in Mark's locker last year. They readmitted him because of some so-called technicalities. That guy spells nothing but trouble." Kathy assures Eddie and Mr. Fraser, "He won't be back. Dean Grimsby said he may never run again." Mark comments, "He never could run to begin with." Kathy laughs and replies, "That's exactly what I told Dean Grimsby. He didn't think it was very funny though." Officer Hayes walks in, seeing the familiar crowd. Mr. Fraser takes everyone into the arena, where they enter a nicely furnished room usually reserved for the meet officials. After having a brief reunion, and Mr. Fraser bringing Officer Hayes up to date on the altercation between Kathy and McCutcheon, everyone takes a seat. Kathy begins by telling everyone, "Today, I almost got put on disciplinary probation for kicking the shit out of McCutcheon on Monday. Dean Grimsby told me that I will not be allowed to participate on the track team, but that I still had to go to my classes. And then he said that any future incidents may lead to my expulsion." Mr. Fraser comments, "It was obvious that he was on the warpath this morning about something." Mark adds, "Yeah, I'd say." Kathy continues, explaining, "So, here's the good part. I told Dean Grimsby, one more peep out of you, and I'll make your high-level involvement in the organized gambling ring around here public knowledge." So, then the dean yells out, "How do you know about that?" "So, I told him, wouldn't you like to know?" "So, then he got really mad at me, and I told him that I didn't appreciate competing in a rigged sport, and that he wants McCutcheon on the team so he can rig the outcomes. Oh, and I told him that he made up this thing that we all keep hearing that the administration would prefer that Todd McCutcheon run in at least one, preferably two events." Mr. Fraser mentions, "I've been hearing that too, but but neither I or Provost Layton can find out where that decree originated. Officer Hayes, who is frantically taking notes, asks, this McCutcheon character. Is he still running erratically? Mr. Fraser replies, not during practice as much, but I'm afraid to put him in because in a meet is where he displays poor performance. Officer Hayes then asks Kathy, this meeting with Dean Grimsby was when? This morning. Kathy replies, yeah. About 7:30 a.m., right after practice started. Kathy continues, so, after I told him, checkmate, Dean Grimsby tells me, I'll make you a deal. So then, I told him that I already gave him the deal, which was, one more peep out of you, and I'll make your high-level involvement in the organized gambling ring around here public knowledge. Then, I told him that, for the record, I am not on disciplinary probation, and that I will be running in the next meet. Then, I walked out. Officer Hayes asks Kathy, what made you suspect this Dean Grimsby character is involved in a gambling ring? Kathy explains, everything he says and does is exactly like Mr. Crum. Like, when Mr. Crum tried to get Jimmy O'Brien and the Chucky on the track team, but they weren't good enough. And so, when Dr. Paxton disappeared, Dean Grimsby did everything he could to keep McCrutchen on the team. Mr. Fraser tells Officer Hayes, I can certainly attest to all of that. And, there was also that time Mr. Crum tried to get Paul Mahoney back on the team. Kathy exclaims, yeah. I remember that. Mr. Fraser adds, Crum, wanting Paul Mahoney back on the team, may have been for the same reason. Kathy then mentions, so, I also keep hearing about how much money McCrutchen's father gives to the school. Now, I'm wondering if he isn't making the money by gambling and betting against the team. And so get this. I bet that, when Braden was chasing down McCrutchen last year, the other guy was his older brother. Eddie had suggested that the third person could have been Scott McCutcheon Jr. to Officer Hayes last summer. But, the case of investigating steroids planted in Mark's locker is not Officer Hayes' case. Officer Braden adds, whoever that other guy was is certainly a lot faster than McCrutcheon. I went after the slower guy. Officer Hayes asks, the older McCutcheon brother, that's Scott, Jr.? Right? Kathy replies, yeah. Officer Hayes asks Officer Braden, you guys never did find out who the third guy was, right? Officer Braden replies, that's correct, sir. But, we know that there were three of them. When me and Officer Levi questioned them, they alleged there were only two of them. Officer Hayes, who is quite sure that Scott McCutcheon Jr. was the third person, asks Mr. Fraser, is there any evidence that this Scott McCutcheon Jr. character also runs erratically? Mr. Fraser replies, I don't know. That was before I got here. But, there are records of everyone's performance every time they were timed on the track, both in practice and in competition. Officer Hayes tells Mr. Fraser, if you don't mind, I'd like to get those records. Mr. Fraser replies, no problem. Officer Hayes then asks Officer Braden, did you arrest this Todd McCutcheon character for assault? Officer Braden replies, no. Todd McCutcheon has been under surveillance. He's gonna go and report everything to his father. So, I let it go. I suspect his father is gonna show up again at the school and cry about something. McCrutchen wasn't looking too good when they took him away. We're sure to hear more about this soon. Focusing his attention to Officer Hayes, Mr. Fraser adds, Scott McCutcheon Sr., the father, showed up at practice earlier in the semester. He wanted the harassment of his son stopped. Officer Hayes asks, is there any evidence that this Todd McCutcheon was being harassed by anyone? Mr. Fraser explains, no one seems to like the guy for some reason. It's not hard to see how he would think he's being harassed. Mark replies, yeah, I've harassed him. I call him McCrutchen. I've done that since 8th grade. And all during high school, I messed with him at the starting line when he ran for Centerville. Officer Hayes comments, I hardly think that compares to planting steroids in a locker or ramming a baton into someone's ass. While they are on the subject, Mark also mentions, and he crashed my wedding. Officer Hayes interrupts and asks, wait a second. Let me get this straight. Todd McCutcheon crashed your wedding. Mark replies, yeah. Him and that lug nut guy. Clarifying Mark's reference, Paula tells Officer Hayes, lug nut is Steve Leggett. Officer Hayes asks, when was the wedding? Paula replies, it will be 2 years this summer. Officer Braden adds, when he crashed the wedding, we had McCutcheon and Leggett arrested. They were charged with public drunkenness and disorderly conduct. Officer Hayes comments, this gets better all the time. Primarily addressing Officer Braden, Officer Hayes advises, now that the cat is out of the bag, your department will have to keep a close eye on Addison Grimsby. He's probably on the phone right now. And that was a good move letting McCutcheon go and not placing him under arrest immediately. It will give them all a chance to regroup and plan their next move, which we'll be waiting for. Mr. Fraser mentions, on Monday, I told Todd McCutcheon that he's cut from the team. But when I heard his knee was severely injured, I put him on injured reserve. But he thinks he's been cut. We'll see how hard they work to get him back on the team. Officer Hayes replies, good. That's even better. The storm will be more fierce. Mr. Fraser then mentions, with Paxton gone, McCutcheon gone, and Crum in jail, we stand a good chance to win all the gold medals in the spring divisional meet. I can't wait. Officer Hayes asks, is the team really that good? Mr. Fraser replies, physically, they can do it. In a four-way meet earlier this year, they took all the gold medals. All I have to do is get rid of their doubt. Braden chimes in and energetically exclaims, we're gonna do it. This is gonna be the biggest ass-kicking meet of my career. Mr. Fraser laughs and comments, I wish everyone was that confident. Officer Hayes requests of Mr. Fraser and Braden, keep me informed of the team's performance. I want to see how the performance changes now that certain people are out of the picture. Mr. Fraser replies, we can certainly do that. As the meeting winds up, Officer Hayes walks away with more pieces of the puzzle, learning a few things he's never heard before. Mr. Fraser has gotten rid of McCutcheon, hopefully for good this time. Kathy avoids getting put on disciplinary probation and has Dean Grimsby running scared. At the end of the day, Dean Grimsby wishes he called in sick today. And Provost Layton will have an interesting time catching up on the drama when she returns on Monday. Once everyone else is gone, Eddie asks Kathy, okay, Katerina Karakova, how did you figure all that out? Kathy smiles and replies, my blue stone. I was holding it when I was in Dean Grimsby's office. I saw right through all his bullshit, and everything began to make perfect sense. Eddie asks, so, with your blue stone, you're seriously a better bullshit detector. Kathy exclaims, that's right. Eddie replies, if that's one thing that's different, then who knows what else is different too with your blue stone. Eddie asks, I wonder if the blue stone works for everyone. Kathy replies, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll put mine around Paula's neck for a few minutes and see what happens. Eddie replies, we can put one around Mark's neck and tell Mark to tell McCutcheon that his brain is liquefying and see what happens. Kathy laughs, telling Eddie his brain is already mush. And now I want to go back and find more of these blue stones. Eddie suggests, maybe we can dig some up sometime. Kathy agrees, telling Eddie, yeah, we can do that. We definitely have to do that.